Welcome to Witnessing for Jesus today. My name's Theodore Turner, and we're going to talk about what to do and how to confront your own sins and get healed. Perhaps you have an alcohol problem. Perhaps you have a tobacco problem you want to change. It may not necessarily be sins, some of them, but they may be unhealthy for your body. So today I want to talk about what you're going to do if you want to confront these things. First of all, I want to back up a little to what I read on the last program. 1 John 2:11 says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for your name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you and overcomes the wicked one." Now, we're supposed to forgive people, forgive our brother. And Jesus was saying through this prophet here that he talked to all these people and he sent love to all these people. We need to show love towards our brother. If your brother makes you upset, you need to forgive him and go on. Just say, "Okay, well, we'll just go on. I'm sorry I misunderstood or you misunderstood." 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Sometimes this could have to do with even watching television. I'm not saying you can't watch TV or TV's a sin, but sometimes the things of the world are going to be really showing up right on your TV and the news and in other programs, and we can't love the world and the things that are in the world. Maybe some of the shows you know are indecent that you're watching. There could be other things in your life that you know are wrong and that you need to correct. But right here it says, 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." If you feel you have these kinds of lusts in your heart, then you know that that's definitely not coming from God. That's coming from your own heart, and you need to work on getting rid of these things. 1 John 2:17 says, "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You don't want to get left here, perhaps during the millennium, or something like that, and it says, "The world passes away, and the lust thereof." But if you do the will of God, you'll abide forever, as it says, 1 John 2:17. 1 John 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now this verse is very relevant today because you'll find out there's a lot of people and a lot of politics trying to keep people from ever using the name of Jesus. They don't want Bible verses on the schools. They don't want Bibles in the school, but they can have almost any other disgusting book in the school. But you'll find that many of these people are definitely anti-Christian. And I don't know if it's the Antichrist talked about here in 1 John 2:18, but a lot of times there are people who were Christians and they just lost it and they can't deal with being a Christian, so they just want to ignore it. 1 John 2:19 alludes to this. It says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us." Many of these people that used to be Christians, you'll find they may be out in the world doing things, not necessarily in politics, but many of them are. They may be doing other kind of things, but you'll find out that once they backslide, they'll be very negative towards Christianity because they know that whatever the sin is they're doing, whatever it is that's in their life, they don't want to give up. They'll want to fight it. They don't want the gospel of God there to tell them that they need to change. 1 John 2:20 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." So how do we confront our sins and get healed? Colossians 2:13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. If you ask God to forgive you, he will forgive you. But there are some consequences sometime of the sins. First of all, you're going to reap what you sow. If you go out and you have an affair with someone, well, you've not only affected your own spouse, you've affected the spouse of the person you've had an affair with, and it's going to bring repercussions on you. Those kind of things happen. Philippians 3:9 says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith." Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for your name's sake." It's very important that we do ask God to forgive us for our sins, because it affects the children in our life, it affects our relatives, it affects other people in our life. In 1 John 2:13, I'm going to read this again. I've already read this in another program, but "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. And this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath a Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You want to make sure you've got Jesus in your life. You want to get rid of all the evil that you can. But if you go back and you drink some beer and you get drunk, or you say something wrong, or you do it, even if you had an affair or something, you can try to get forgiven for God. He'll forgive you. Many human people won't forgive you. Your wife may not. Your husband may not. The spouse's husband or wife may not. But you can still ask God to forgive you and tell these people how sorry you are that you did these things. And if you were on alcohol when you did this, tell them, "I was doing this when I was drunk," or whatever. You can't just make an excuse, though. If sometimes you do something, it just comes out of the evil that's in our hearts. And we all have sin in our heart. And if we say we don't, then we're lying. 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things have written you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Anytime you ask for forgiveness, 1 John 5:14 comes into play. And it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So you can ask God to forgive you for whatever sin it is you've committed, and you can ask him to help you, and also you can ask for things that you need. 1 John 5:15 says, "And we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Galatians 5:22 talks about some of the things that we should be doing as a Christian. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," Galatians 5:23, "meekness, temperance." Against such there is no law. "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." We need to try to put these things aside. Every time you have an addiction, whether it's a little addiction like smoking or something else, the more you put it off, the more you pray, the more you'll get closer to God, and you'll know that you're getting away from this addiction. I've known people that were on drugs, and they did this, and they prayed, and they kept putting it away, and they got away from the drugs. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches and grace, wherein he has abounded towards us with all wisdom and prudence. God gives us wisdom and helps us to know what to do with it, but we have to use it. Sometimes you know what to do with it. You may be strongly led to do something with your wisdom that's for God, but you have to do it. That may be like going up and talking to someone at church that you know has had a bad day and asking them if there's anything you can do to help them. We need to tell those people that are feeling bad that if they feel like they're not right with God, remind them. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It's a gift of God. It doesn't go by how you feel. Ephesians 2:9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, sometimes there's consequences for things, really bad things that happen in your life. And there's a couple of verses in here, they're sort of scary, but in the end, there actually is some resolution to the verses. It talks about if you really did something really bad, you had some bad works in your life, a bunch of them. 1 Corinthians 3:15, King James Version says, and this is for people who are Christians, but they really backslid and they really done something wrong. 1 Corinthians 3:15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as for fire." So these verses here are talking about a lot of the things you did. You could build some big building, build some big business or something like that, maybe a pornography or something like that, and all this stuff could be burned. So it says in 1 Corinthians 3:15, when God destroys this world, this is what it says, 1 Corinthians 3:15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And that indicates that maybe you'll have to be tormented a little bit in this world here. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, and the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." In other words, if you do something to the temple of God, your own body, and you're defiling that body, I'll read this verse again, 1 Corinthians 3:16, King James Version, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 3:17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Romans 6:1 says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." Some people are saying, "Well, I just keep sinning because there's plenty of grace to forgive me." Well, that's not the way it works. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God expects us to do the things in our lives that will help us. We don't want to have to go through the consequences of sin. We don't want to have to go through reaping some of the evil things we've done. You need to ask God to help you to be the kind of people you need to be and not a reprobate. 2 Corinthians 13:16 says, "But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates." There are some reprobates which are like people who just keep going back and doing things and really hurting themselves and other people around them. Ephesians 1, 3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestinated us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us, beloved. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. Is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that anyone may boast." You need to keep asking God to help you to clean up your life and be the kind of person you need to be, and he'll do that. And don't forget that Jesus is watching over you. Thanks for tuning in today to Witness for Jesus, and next week we'll continue this again. Have a good day.